Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the Old Testament lesson, the book of Ruth. I'd just like to review verse 15, where we have Naomi addressing Ruth first of all. Naomi said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God." This passage is from the book of Ruth. And Ruth tells a relatively short story that too often goes overlooked. So we're going to do something about that today. Her story is worth remembering. After all, she is the great-grandmother of King David. And she experienced God's grace and provision in her own right. So let's set the stage a little. Verse 1 of Ruth chapter 1 tells us that the story is set in the days of the judges. Now, at this point in history, Moses and Joshua are long gone. They've done their work. But the great kings of Israel have not yet come. These are the in-between years for the Jewish people, years characterized by war after war and conflict after conflict. If you're familiar with Bible personalities like Samson, for example, that's their time. And it's also the time for human drama like Ruth experienced. Imagine living in Bethlehem during this rough and tumble time, and there's a family made up of father Elimelech, mother Naomi, two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they leave Bethlehem to go to another country entirely because of famine and scarcity. They have to go find it. And imagine while living in this forbidden land named Moab, present-day Jordan, those two sons in that family meet some girls. One thing leads to another. Now there's two daughters-in-law. Now, although the marriage of God's people to Moabite women was not expressly forbidden in the law, it certainly would have seemed like a point of compromise, raising some mixed emotions. The two new additions to the family, Ruth and Orpah, for example, they would never be allowed into the assembly in the temple in Jerusalem. That is, if they ever got back to Jerusalem. So that's the setting. And now imagine the tragedy and the sorrow that accompanied the deaths of all three men. Elimelech, the father, dies. Mahlon, Chilion, the two boys, they also pass away. That family had left Bethlehem to escape disaster, but it found them anyway. And in a way that was more terrible than they could have imagined. The women are left with nothing, no possibility of work, no possibility of food, or even a home. History, especially ancient history, is not kind to women left alone. Naomi finds herself in the position of knowing she needs to dismiss her daughters-in-law to go back home because it's not too late for them to start over. Even though Naomi's decided it is too late for her. With many spilled tears, there's a number of references in this passage to the times that the women broke down together. The family looks like it's breaking apart. Naomi says, "You need to go home. Go back to your Moabite culture, and according to the Scripture's Orpah kisses Naomi, and that's it. She's going back home. But Ruth grabs her mother-in-law and doesn't let go. Something's happened to Ruth within the circle of this family. The Moabite God is not her God anymore. The Moabite people, she doesn't consider herself one of them. In verses 16 and 17, then Ruth confesses her commitment and her faith. Where you, Naomi, go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your God will be my God. Here's yet another example of how an old, mostly forgotten Bible story can have immediate application and relevance to our lives today. You might ask, well, how is that? Well, if you look around, you will see that we live in an age where faith is not something necessarily passed down by families anymore. Our spiritual fathers and mothers may not necessarily be our biological fathers and mothers. We live in an age that is defined by death and divorce and distance. Just look at your Thanksgiving table, the Christmas dinner table. Those are examples of this reality. In other words, the people with whom we break bread, share our lives, spend our holidays, are often filled with family, but maybe not the bloodlines. Interestingly, Jesus teaches about a new kind of family in Matthew chapter 12. While pointing to his disciples and his followers, the people who had left everything to sit at his feet and listen, he says about them, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." These are words of comfort to people who don't fit the traditional criteria. Relationship to God is not based on race, it's not based on ethnicity, but instead on a connection God has made with you in Jesus. That means those who live your faith with you are your family. This is just one of the great changes made possible by Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrected life. You can't look at Ruth's skin color or sin baggage or even her religious history and define who she is. You have to look at her love. She loves Naomi, her mother-in-law. And not only that, she's fallen in love with Naomi's God. A major part of being a Christian community, being a church body, is accepting this and enjoying this new identity. Everyone who comes through these doors enters with baggage, with history. And Jesus changes all that. Even from his own cross, Jesus was showing a new way to be. From his cross, Jesus pleads with his Father to forgive the people hurting him. Even from his cross, Jesus is instructing his friend John to become a son to his mother Mary. Even from his cross, Jesus is telling the thief at his side, "You're going to be a guest at an incredible banquet later today."
He shows us what love is. Even when suffering and dying, things that were formerly impossible and unthinkable are now all possible because Jesus is doing them. He's dying so that we can be forgiven and then imitate His love. A love that looks beyond bloodlines. A love that understands that those who live your faith with you are your family. Now, a beautiful example of this way of thinking is found in adoption. A young man named Christopher Branscombe was adopted as a young child. And in something that he wrote, he said that as an adopted son, he had to ask the question over and over again in his life, what is family based on? Blood or love? And he writes, the two are often not the same. And he goes on to write, my father and mother are the Branscombes, the couple who took me in as an infant, who fed me, who gave me safety and security and shared their faith with me. They applauded for me at my high school graduation. They applauded for me again at my college graduation, and they're now grandparenting my daughter. They are mom and dad. Do you see, in a real way, that is Christian life? Adoption creates a new family. Baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is that adoption. You and I have been adopted into a new family, given a new identity, and a new way of thinking and living in Christ. I'm fast-forwarding through a lot of stuff, but let's talk about the end of Ruth's story. The story of Ruth ends with newness everywhere. Ruth has a new husband, Boaz. Lots of new promises. There's a new grandmother in this story. It's Naomi. She's holding this little grandchild in her arms. This child named Obed is family to her, not because of blood, but because Ruth continues to call Naomi family, want her there, providing for her needs. And just a word about that child she's holding. Obed will one day have a child of his own named Jesse, and one of Jesse's children will be named David, and David is that David, the eventual king of Israel. So if Ruth doesn't stay with Naomi all those years before, is there a King David to ascend the throne? Maybe your story is just as confusing and just as beautiful. Maybe by your love, you've turned friends into family, and you want them at that table with you. Maybe you know the power of adoptive love and can relate to Ruth's story on that level. Just know this, when you reach out in self-giving love to another person, blood-related or not, God's dream for mankind is becoming real. The key is the cross of Jesus, the price that He paid on that cross. On the cross, Jesus washed away sin and began repairing isolation and brokenness. The cross of Christ ushers in a new way of thinking that creates new life among people who adopt each other as family.
In Jesus' name, I urge you to make this promise to somebody. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. And your God, my God. Let's pray. Father, with your Son and Holy Spirit, you have adopted each of us into a wider family of faith. Open our eyes by the power of your Holy Spirit, empowered by the forgiveness and love of Jesus' cross, to truly see one another as brothers and sisters, those that we would serve with our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen.